news update here for something that's been going on throughout the morning. An update here on the bomb threat called in to Mary G. Montgomery. According to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, they say they have arrested a 17-year-old for making bomb threats to Mary G. Montgomery as of this morning, day one for school for Mobile County Public Schools. Mobile County Sheriff's deputies responded to Mary G. Montgomery for a report of a bomb threat. Mobile County Public School System says the lockdown was placed as deputies and bomb dogs searched the school. The school has been given an all clear. Lockdown has been lifted. Everything is all clear, according to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Of course, this comes in as the first day of school rolls in for Mobile County Public Schools. Kids, first of all, don't call in any threats anywhere. But who calls in a threat? I mean, honestly, you don't call in threats ever. Who does this on the first day of school? I mean, there's not a test. Is there a test on the first? No, there's no test on the first day. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous to do it at all. But first day of school, 8:30 this morning, bomb threat comes in. They've made an arrest. And we will follow the story, get news updates from our news partners at WKRG. All right, coming up in today's show, lots to talk about. We have some tiffs out there, back and forth now, a social media and a word-for-word tiff between two folks that would like to be the Republican candidate for Senate 2020 for Alabama. We'll get into that in hour number two. And also, as I teased this morning, I said friend of the show, state senator, former state senator, but friend of the show, a person you've heard on with me over the years, enjoy talking to this man, Tripp Pittman, and I had a conversation yesterday that he said something to me. I went, say what? Never heard of that before. And he's gonna talk about this idea that may combine the traffic on I-10 there at the tunnel and the Civic Center into one subject, but also a lot more to talk about with former state senator and our buddy Tripp Pittman. Thanks for your time.
Well, it's good to be with you, Sean, and your listeners.
And it's good to have you on as well. And I want to start off, though, on the serious subject of the president speaking yesterday in the aftermath of a deadly weekend in Texas and in Ohio with these mass shooting events. And one of the things the president lined out yesterday was red flag laws. And to a lot of folks, that's not something they're familiar with. I think there's 9 or 10 different states that have it. But it kind of explained it to me the way we were talking yesterday and what you had voted on and pushed here in the state of Alabama.
Well, it's just such a tragedy. You know, you lose freedom when you have terrible things like this happen. You know, there's a commandment that says thou shalt not kill, and
yep,
certainly that should be followed. And I don't know why people that are unhappy and certainly don't want people to take their own life, but why people feel like they need to go and take a lot of other innocent people with them when they do something like that. But regardless, we just have to pray that people will come to their senses of, you know, it's a tragedy. But what happened, you know, we've gone through these tragedies now for the last decade or more, and one of the things I did when I was in the legislature was trying to come up with something that had made some common sense. And you use red flag. I didn't know that language at the time, but one of the things that we find is a lot of this is deals with mental health. I think some of those mental health issues come from the breakdown of the family and people not learning the difference between right and wrong and not understanding limits and maybe thinking they're way too important, more important than they are. But beyond that, what we did is looked at mental health. And one of the things that we were able to agree on in Alabama and pass was a law that said if you have been involuntarily committed to a mental health facility, then you would lose your gun rights and the ability to purchase guns. You can go back and get those rights at a later point. But somebody that's involuntarily committed, they show back up, you know, later on to buy a gun. The commitment had to involve the threat of use of a gun. And so it was limited. I think there's some room there maybe to look at other red flag events where people have made threats or done things. You know, we've got to remember that we want to protect our civil liberties. The Fourth Amendment, I think Franklin said, those who will give up a little liberty for a little security will soon have neither. So we definitely don't want to expand who terrorists are and to give the government more power or too much power. But I think there is some room, and there's been some things done already that can help to identify potential threats.
And that is a tough thing because you can define it, or you can define it one way and say, hey, if you had a way to take weapons away from somebody who was bent on hurting others, I think most fair-minded people would say, okay, let's look into that. But that is also something that's subjective. That it depends on, you know, you talking about what a judge says. If you have somebody committed, it's one thing. But these red flag laws in other states, people close to the, and I'm going to try to go through this and understand it, but people close, family members, or I guess close friends, but I think it's family, to the person in question can petition the state, you know, the lowercase s, petition the state to step in and take these firearms away for some period of time. That's done anonymously, I guess, in some states. Elsewhere, I could imagine it would be an issue when the person got the guns back. But, you know, with that, you look at situations where you have, they'll say, this person's a loner or these things. There may not be anybody there to say, hey, this person's unstable. They need to go get the guns. And I can see it being abused, too. How do you define what makes the person fall under this red flag? What is a red flag? How is that? Who defines that? Is it by state, by federal? How's it defined?
Well, again, you know, I'm somebody that believes in the 10th Amendment and thinks that those things are not delegated to the federal government or reserved to the state. So I think it should be more of a state-by-state issue, again, following under the Constitution and unreasonable searches and protecting liberty. That's why when the bill I sponsored was limited simply to a process where somebody has gone through the process through a judge to be involuntarily committed, that's a real high standard. That was something we could agree to. With provisions to make sure that the threat that got them committed had to be something that involved the threat to use of a gun, and then also later on they could get those rights back. There was a mechanism for that. So where do you go beyond that? I'm not sure that you can, but certainly the mental issues, the threats, things that people do, looking at people's social media. But as you pointed out, we're all being watched. So the idea that something new's fixing to happen is you better go back to a flip phone.
True. Just joining us, talking to Tripp Pittman, former state senator Tripp Pittman, and about some laws pushed through before here or voted in Alabama. But this compared, what you're talking about compared to what I see in other states and maybe even what the president is referencing, there's a quite a chasm between the two, right? I mean, these aren't the same.
There's some real overreactions. You know, people, the Halligan principle, don't let a crisis go to waste. And unfortunately, you know, you get drawn in that weapons and guns cause these problems. You know, there are people that have used various other weapons to kill people. And that's a debate it's a debate that needs to be happened. You know, the Second Amendment's an individual right. It's a right to protect yourself against other people, but also a balance of power for government. And so you need to be careful that people may have ulterior motives. I do think there's some room to look at some of the actions of people that have led to, for example, the involuntary commitment that rises to the level to justify some limit on that constitutional right. Some people would disagree adamantly, but I certainly share those concerns. But I think that there is there's some things and some triggers that can say, hey, there is a threat here. But you have to be very careful, because generally when things happen, they don't they don't get undone.
Coming right back, more with Tripp Pittman, State Senator Tripp Pittman, and an idea that he rolled out to me on the telephone yesterday afternoon, riding down the road, talking to him, and I've heard a lot of ideas to deal with our traffic issues, to deal with the Civic Center. Never heard one that brought them both together. Something you want to hear when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. In the conversation, my buddy Tripp Pittman, former state senator, although always state senator, right?
Well, they say that, but I tell you, I miss the people, some of the people, but you know, I'm glad to be back in the private sector. I'm a businessman at heart.
Well, hopefully, maybe one day the situation comes that you head back up to Montgomery and do the people's work.
I hope not. I'm willing to delegate that to other people.
Well, then maybe other people can take your idea here and move with it, because you said something to me on the phone yesterday. I said, okay, we got to get this idea out. As all the discussion about the tolling and the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, and this all stems from the issue of traffic at the Wallace Tunnel and the Bayway going across. And you said, hey, Sean, you've been talking about two things here that could kind of go together. Lay out what you said to me yesterday.
Well, the issue is a traffic flow issue, and it's an issue that affects the whole South. You know, it's Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida. It's not just an Alabama problem, and now here we are wanting to, just create something I don't think is going to work. I mean, a very expensive toll, and then also require us to, and I'm okay with paying a toll for a new bridge or a new route, mm-hmm. certainly not to go and toll a free road. But I think an initial solution or something we need to look at, and plans already have been looked at before and exist, is to try to straighten out, the roads as they go into the tunnel. You take out that big curve. I actually put the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit sign there so people would speed back up. But the problem is once you lose your momentum, you go into a dark tunnel, and then you can't speed back up. It's an accordion effect. It exacerbates itself. And part of the problem with why the curve is there is that the municipal auditorium parking lot was there. And so there is a way, I've talked to some engineers, to straighten out those entrances. In fact, there are already plans that came out in the paper this morning that had been looked at, and in fact, there may have been some money for it. In politics, you always have to look at the ulterior motives, too, and what do people want to do. I think we need to look at straightening out the tunnel. You know, obviously, the municipal auditorium or the civic center, is an issue, and the mayor's trying to deal with that. If you sell some of the land to the state or whoever in order to straighten out the tunnels, there's some revenue stream, there's some cash. It possibly could be used to redo or to change what's done at the Civic Center. So I just think that we need to be talking about, and there's other problems and challenges out there, that we need to look at existing buildings, existing facilities, and how can we better utilize them in order to keep going further into debt, entering into more of these private-public partnerships that in a lot of cases end up getting worse and not better over time. The private people have a lot better attorneys generally than the public people do. But I do think that the straightening out of the tunnel would be something that's doable. It's something that would slow down the accordion effect, and it would. And I also think you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, there was a wreck today on the Bayway. Mm-hmm. Two lanes going each direction, and it shuts it down. If you have four lanes and you have a big wreck, you're going to shut it down. So I do think that the new bridge, needs to be an independent project. We need to look at the designs that are out there for the straightening the tunnel. We need to look at the old designs for the I-65 cutoff and the Cochran Africatown Bridge. I think we need to look at how this affects us locally. My concern is what's going to happen between Mobile and Baldwin County. You know, they've dealt with since from before there were ever bay boats, and then before I remember when the causeway was just getting started. I remember holding my breath through the Bankhead Tunnel as a swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people have done that because you're underwater. But regardless, we need to look at ways to look at how we can do things, how we can help the traffic here, because there are people that try to get from one side of the river to the other side of the river multiple times each day. I was at the docks a couple of weeks ago. When the people go home to the Eastern Shore, they go north and go across the Cochran Africatown Bridge. That's a pretty substantial bridge. You could create, the traffic so you don't get off and get emptied off into streetlights. You'd tie it right back into I-65. We could put some roads around that would potentially tie back into the bay causeway and affect that. But I think one of the things you have to look at initially is how do you straighten out the tunnel? There are plans that have been looked at before. There's money there potentially for the city to do away, since they're looking at tearing it down already. You know, there's ways they could potentially get some revenue from that. And I think we have to be very careful about these public-private partnerships with these big equity firms. You know, you go through economic variations. We saw one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, governments usually finish what they start. It may take forever. But, you get into these private operations, and who knows where we may get caught with something halfway done. So I think that it's important that we look at all the old plans and that we look at new ways of doing things. And we don't try to solve, in Alabama, a program that it affects the whole region. One other thing I want to talk about is, because there already are some plans out there and old designs, is we do have the money, Sean. I mean, the Alabama Trust Fund that's there, it's a savings account. It's not a savings account, it's a trust fund. But there's, $2 to $3 billion in that that could potentially be borrowed over time to be paid back with interest that could help this. The RSA has not been talked to. Of course, they're involved in things. They could potentially provide some financing. And then also, we just passed a $350 million a year gas tax. The legislature just also diverted $35 million from mental health back to ALDOT. Well, $35 million a year would satisfy about $700 million worth of debt. So I think there are monies out there that could be used as part of the solution. I'm not saying that you don't need a toll, and I'm willing to pay a toll on new or enhanced travel. But the idea that we need to tear down the Bayway, which I was in Spanish Fort Hill when Katrina hit, and there were still 7 or 8 feet of space below, you know, the Bayway, which that was a 500-year storm. The only way they can toll the Wallace Tunnel is to enhance and tear down the Bayway. Mm-hmm. We don't need to tear down what we already have. We need to enhance the causeway. We need to look to building an independent, separate bridge that we figure out a way to finance. I think people are willing to pay a toll, especially if they know that it's going to be for, you know, a couple of decades, and we're going to get this paid for, just like we did the Bankhead Tunnel. We keep the money here. Figure out a way. Some of your callers, you know, one said yesterday we don't have to tear down the old one. We can get an exemption. One caller talked about having to pay a toll by the month. I think there are some ways that you can deal with the local traffic to mitigate the impact. But this is an occupational tax. It's what happened in Birmingham. You know, when you start charging $6 each way, you're going to keep people through social and business. A wife from Mobile, a mother from Mobile, a family Mobile, friends I have do business there. You're basically putting up a wall between Mobile and Baldwin County, and that's not a healthy thing.
No, it isn't. Just joining us, talking to State Senator Tripp Pittman, and one of the things I want to go back here to remind everybody, go open up Google Maps or something like that. I want y'all to look at what Tripp is talking about here with the Civic Center parking lot and straightening out the approach, or at least making a less significant angle into the approach into the tunnel. I think it's very interesting and may be two birds with one stone. But also what you talk about in financing, that's one of the issues. I've said it before. I said it feels like we're at a high-risk loan. I mean, if you look at the rate of return, and listen, I want private sector to make all the money it can, but it maybe not when it's working with government. The rate of return on this could be absolutely huge for the hedge fund in this, when we could do this and we could finance it, bond it through the state, and end up paying a lot less in interest on this. I mean, we could get this done instead of just wasting money.
Totally. Listen, you know, I'm a limited government person. There's few things government does, and defense and infrastructure.
Yes, roads
are some of those you know, responsibilities. I think the federal government needs to step up. You know, unfortunately, there was a decision made a year ago, or fortunately, but I mean, the decision was made by the federal delegation a year ago that the Mobile Ship Channel was the priority over the Mobile River Bridge. And I don't know if people remember that, but that was the choice, and the ship channel was chosen. So there's only so much money that's available. And now we have to figure out a way to do this. I do support a toll on a new road. I support it. Let's look at how we can finance it ourselves, how we can control it. You know, I'm a supporter of Governor Kay Ivey, a supporter of John Cooper's. But I want to look at how we can afford to do this and how we can pay for this. And
is it doable, Tripp? I mean, you know the workings. Can we – how much legislative wrangling does it take for money to come out of the trust fund to be able to bond back to the state, for the state to be able to finance its own bond?
Well, listen, one of the things that just happened in this gas tax is money was given to the Port Authority in order to help finance the channel widening. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be a backup. You know, there's $35 million that just was diverted from mental health to Aldot that could be potentially used to help finance this. Once the shipping channel is paid off, then that money could divert back over to help pay for the bridge project. You know, again, we're part of a county, you know, state with 67 counties, 35 senators, you know, 105 House members. But again, we are one state, and we have to figure out how we can come together in order to solve problems. And there's give and take. I think there is a way to make this happen without going to hedge funds to can make this thing a lot more reasonable, make it something that we can control. And again, I think it's important not to put all your eggs in one basket. I think keeping a separate bayway, straightening out the tunnel, and then a separate bridge or a separate solution is better than us trying to put wider lanes. Just that, you know, we think Florida Street was a problem. How the heck are they going to build this, shutting down and tearing down the old Bayway? So,
well,
I think
said.
There's some common sense that has to be used. It can be done. I've talked to engineers that say there's been plans. It's been looked at. It's not the big, you know, $2 billion project that people are going to make a lot of money off of. We've got to come up with a solution. We need to work with other states. We need to work with the federal government. We need to look at the financing that we can do on our own. But if there's a will, there's a way. We just have to be willing to look at other alternatives. The current plan is not going to fly. I don't think it's going to work. People are going to go around the toll if they have to go over the Cochrane-Africatown Bridge just to spite it. You know, before long, they'll be closing down the Bankhead Tunnel to make people use the bridge. And heck, they may close down the Cochrane-Africatown Bridge. You know, once you enter into these public-private partnerships, it's kind of like utilities. The reason for the utility isn't to control the rate, is to make sure the utility works.
Yep. That's for sure. As always, I enjoy our conversations. I got to get you back on the show soon.
Thank you for having me, Sean. Best to all your listeners. God bless.
All right. Thank you, State Senator Tripp Pittman. What about that? And we can talk when we get back. I see some texts coming in. We can get you on the phone lines as well. Did you go look at Google Maps or Google Earth or any kind of mapping? Pretty interesting where you might be able to have some money shifted that helps the Civic Center get a better approach to the tunnel out of this. And then the idea, I mean, Tripp Pittman spent time in Montgomery looking at these things. What if the state financed itself instead of paying the high rate to the Triple P?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, phone lines open, 343-0106, 343-0106. And yeah, to circle back to the beginning of the show, got a couple of texts about this. The first thing I'm going to say is, because I'm a dad, I get it, all clear. Nothing, all clear. Everything's good. Now, let me go to the beginning of the story. Bomb threat was called in this morning to Mary G. Montgomery at 8:30, came into the sheriff's office. Also, I think the school office, the sheriff's department came out with bomb sniffing dogs. They came through, cleared the school. Everything is fine. They've made an arrest. Mobile County Sheriff's arrested a 17-year-old on this. So we'll see where this goes. But that bomb threat, day one. I mean, and now that I know everybody's fine, and why do you call it in on day? You should never call it in. But why do you call it day one? Seems very odd. All right. I want to run through and you can hop on the line. Plus, we'll read through some of the text here. See why I had Senator Tripp Pittman, former Senator Tripp Pittman on? Well, he and I were just talking about a handful of things yesterday afternoon. He said that to me, the idea about straightening the approach to the tunnel. And I know a lot of you have called in over time saying we need to fix the tunnel entrance before we do anything else. But I always said, well, we're up against issues of space, right? What about a situation like he laid out that could be a win-win? This is thinking outside the box to be cliche, which it is. Saying something's cliche is actually cliche too. But using that some area of the Civic Center parking lot, not taking away the Civic Center, but using that parking lot somehow, then transferring money from the LDOT could purchase almost an easement, right? In real estate world, you get an easement. Maybe they purchase some sort of easement. That money goes to help the Civic Center, and you can't make the approach straight. But if you look at it, if you've opened up like a Google Maps, Google Earth, something like that, some mapping software, and looked at it, you sure as heck could reduce the angle. You could make it a lot more subtle of a fade to go from the approach of I-10 to going in the tunnel. And that would solve some problems. Does it solve the fact that getting more and more people traveling every day and it's good? No, but does it help? Is it a kind of pay-as-you-go, step-by-step approach to it? I think it is. You know how I've been asking in this whole bridge and bayway conversation, is there a bronze plan? You know what I'm saying? Like when you go, you look at the insurance choices, right, for your business, it'll be like, well, you've got, here's the gold plan, here's the silver plan, here's the bronze plan. I feel in this toll process, and the bridge project, we have been offered gold plan. The gold plan is what we hear about. We don't ever talk about, is there a silver? Is there a bronze? You know, could we, you get some bronze and eventually if you want to make it gold, you can. But this idea is maybe a way to start trying, because if you don't think we have traffic issues at I-10 at the tunnel, then you're not from around here. We do. And I'm also a proponent. I've told you, I'm a proponent of the bridge. I'm a proponent of expansion. I'm not a proponent of tolls. But if you don't think we have to work on our traffic issues around here, then you don't have your eyes open. You know, I mean, you'll say, well, I don't have to cross it every day. I don't have to cross it very often. Well, what does it do to business? What does it do to the economy around here? So, okay, from the text line here, the auditorium, this one from unnamed texter, auditorium wouldn't lose much parking to the actual raised road pilings to straighten the tunnel. That's right. So you kind of two birds with one stone and have your cake and eat it too, don't you? To pile up the cliches. You would have you could have this raised portion of I-10 heading to the tunnel with a much more subtle angle to it to get into the tunnel. It's going over some section of the Civic Center parking lot in Claiborne. I guess we've got to go over Claiborne there and a section of the Civic Center parking lot. But that's a project that I don't think is $2.4 billion. I think that's something that's a lot more reasonable than that. And then, you know what? Even if you're going to build the bridge, that's still a good thing. It's not a bad thing that you straighten the approach. It's not like you can go, oh, and now that we build the bridge, we're going to go make it the way it was. No, you're going to see how that does, how much does that help, and then go forward. By the way, too, some people, Tripp still listening, some people that want Tripp Pittman for governor. Well, there's some literature out there. Maybe the website's still up. Let's see. This person, I agree with what Mr. Pittman just said about the entrance to the tunnel. I'm not going to say what they said about Governor Ivey. But that is an interesting. If you'll go and open up and look at what was discussed there, I think it is pretty interesting. I'd love to hear from you. Once you look at it, if you think it won't work for a reason, let me know. It's worth talking about. 343-0106. Another part of it that Senator Pittman said was the financing angle, and I find this one very interesting as well. That one of the issues, and I know there's a lot of y'all have called in, kind of run the math on this, you know, guessing averages and, you know, if it's $6, $6 each way, and there's X number, vehicles that travel, and this many avoid the toll, this many don't, you know, what kind of money it means. It's 55 years, a proposal out there, 55 years of tolling to pay for what's being done. But that also, like, I don't blame the hedge fund. They need a rate of return. I mean, to risk their capital, they need a rate of return. I get it. But if we don't have to go that way, and we can bond it out through the state at a better rate, and how about paying we the people the interest? What if the state basically borrowed the money to pay it back to itself? You have a lower rate of interest, and you have the money going back into the state. It's really interesting. This is a question that's been asked many times. I know that I've talked to Dr. Lou Campomenosi about it. I talked to Kevin Spriggs about it, others. You know, the idea of, you know, what would the rate on this kind of loan be somewhere else? It's not, you know, when you start talking about billion-dollar loans, there's not a lot of, I don't have a lot of daily interaction figuring out what the rate is on that kind of loan. But if the state financed itself, a bonding mechanism, you could make the rate a lot lower. All right, take some calls here at 343-0106, and let's go to Ed in Mobile. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Sean, you know, when I go to Florida, you know, vacation, which is seldom because I can't afford it anymore, I get these tickets in the mail, you know, $2,
yep.
$3 for driving in the fast lane. Okay. And I'm not supposed to be. Why don't we put a damn camera in there and say the minimum speed's 40 going through the tunnel and give people tickets if they go under 40? Wait. That would straighten it out.
Wait, hold on, Ed. I get the things from FDOT. Because the toll-by-plate stuff that I go through going to South Florida, you're getting them for speeding? Are you getting them as speeding tickets?
No, for being in the wrong lane.
For being in the wrong lane?
Yeah, for being in the, you know, like the multi-passenger lane.
Oh, HOV. Okay, HOV, I get you. Okay.
And so what I'm saying is put serious cameras in there, and the minimum speed is 40, unless there's, of course, a wreck up ahead, and get people tickets for not going minimum speed, because the problem is all these people don't know how to drive going there, and they slow down to 15 miles an hour, and it clogs up everything.
That's right. Yeah, and that's been an issue since even before we've been talking about the the bridge proposal in earnest. I appreciate the call. Lord knows how many times I've talked about that over the decades of working back here in Mobile. I mean, I always would point out that if there's going to be a big slowdown in there, look for a license plate from one of the northeast Mississippi counties, not George and Wayne, and not home folks like that, but like Itawamba, Yoknapatawpha, anything that would have been in a Faulkner novel. If it's that county, then it'll probably, those folks will be slowing down the Crown Vic going through there, or the Grand Torino. They'll slow down. Also, some Texas tags and some Florida tags will slow down there. But the northeast Mississippi counties are the biggest offenders I've seen over the year. Although Texas, back to my theory here, not even a theory, it's a question. I have no theory. It's just driving around this last weekend, it's like every fifth plate is Texas. I think Texas is a cool state. Hey, Texas folks, y'all are cool. But I don't know why all of a sudden it seems like there are Texas plates everywhere. And they slow down, too. Anderson says, I think the approach to the bridge should be the same philosophy as eating an elephant, one bite at a time instead of cramming the elephant down my throat. Well said. Well said. All right, let's go to, let's see, Captain Doug is up next in Mobile. Hey, Captain Doug.
Hey, Sean, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Good, yeah, good to hear from you again.
Look, we've all been dealing with this tunnel for decades now. And though Tripp Pittman's idea is a worthy one, you've got a hotel you got to go through in order to straighten that curve out on the west side.
How's that?
That's not going to solve anything.
On the, you're talking about
that's the, not solve a thing.
Westbound or eastbound?
Going westbound.
Going westbound.
You're not going to straighten that tunnel out to that. You got that hotel in the way and private parking lots that you got to buy a property on.
But you can make the, if you look at the map, if you straighten it out, you would come right down the side of the Quality Inn there, right? You come right down, like right down the backside of the Quality Inn. You'd still have an angle to it, but it wouldn't be nearly as steep. You could come down almost parallel with the, what would be the south, east wall of the Quality Inn, and then take that same track kind of across the Civic Center parking lot and pick it back up on I-10 with the, well, the current I-10 with a less steep angle. You know, it would be, it's still going to be a curve, but it just wouldn't be so steep.
You're still going to have a curve, and it's still going to be a hard curve. And the problem with this tunnel is not the curve. It's not the fact it's two lanes going this way. It's not the. It's part of the problem is we got people that drive into the tunnel that get scared of it. I agree. The last time you drove through this tunnel, say east to west or west to east, you're going to Daphne. You're going Huntless, say early in the morning. Mm-hmm. You're going through the tunnel about, let's say 7 o'clock on a nice fall day.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing that meets your eyes when you come out that tunnel?
The sun?
Bright sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Bright sunshine. You're going from a dark tube into bright sunshine. It takes a few seconds for your eyes to readjust. You can't change the physics of that. When you're going...
There ought to be a law against the sun being so bright.
Back, you're coming out of that tunnel in the wind, in any time of day or any time of any season. You come back out the same way, except this time you got that hard curve there, but you're still driving from a dark tube into bright sunshine. It blinds you. People panic when you can't see.
Well, and everybody should, but you can take some measures. First of all, I think a federal law to ban how bright the sun is, that would be number one. But number two, I do the old run my sunglasses because I live in sunglasses. I've got blue eyes that are like crazy sensitive, so I live in sunglasses. But what I do when I hit the tunnel is I move them down on my nose, right? So I'm looking over the sunglasses as I'm driving through the tunnel, and the second I'm getting to where the sun's coming back in, I do the old finger push the glasses back over my eyes, and I'm rolling on.
Uh huh. Yeah, but how many other people have the sunglasses that fly down their nose?
Why does somebody get moved?
Doug doesn't. Yeah. Doug doesn't do it. Doug doesn't wear sunglasses.
Well, then, Doug, you need to get.
I can drive it.
It's cheaper for me to buy.
I can do it without even having to slow down. Generally, I don't slow down unless the guy in front of me slows down.
Well, it's cheaper to buy sunglasses for everybody going through the tunnel than it is to build in toll, you know, the expansion.
Well, tolling is out of the question. That's not going to happen. I mean, you talk about an upset in the politics in the state of Alabama. You put a toll on that thing and watch what happens.
But we're already watching what happens.
Part of the state will come unglued.
Yeah, we're already seeing it. I mean, that's what's happening right now. That's why the governor is convening the toll board, because she's heard the hue and cry.
Yeah, I know. Now, there's things that can be done to address this transition from your light, your eyes from bright to darker. They could put sunshades, if for lack of a better term. You could put sunshades across the westbound side, the eastbound side of that tunnel, going in and coming out. That would deflect how hard your eyes have to adjust when you go from light to dark or dark to bright, you know, back into bright light and blinding light.
Why don't we just put some 100-watt bulbs? Why don't we just put some more powerful bulbs up and keep the light brighter in the tunnel? Make the tunnel lit up like a you know, like it's a stage.
Well, you know, that would certainly be that would certainly be better than putting a toll on the thing. That's for sure, because that tunnel gets dark pretty damn quick. There's no question about it. And your eyes have to adjust. You just can't change the body physics on that.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I got to run.
How young you are, it's still going to take a second for your eyes to adjust.
Good deal.
And you're driving. You're coming down at 70 mile an hour, 50 mile an hour, 60 mile an hour, and you've got Grandma Jones in front of you. Eyes adjust even slower. I mean, you know, you're still going to have to deal with the sun issue.
Thanks, Doug. I got to run. I'm up against the break here. Y'all get your blue blockers on, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, coming up in just about 12, 13 minutes, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, joins us. Our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Dalton, check out the Twitter feed. I was talking to Tracy on the Twitter feed there, and I look at that picture of that. Look at the picture of the Lincoln Mark V. Now, that was a vehicle. My grandmother, God rest her soul, used to have one of those. The two-door. Now, the car is about 36 feet long, and the doors were about 18 feet of it. It was a two-door. If one of those doors would have hit you, you'd have been DRT. You would not have made it through. Then that thing would cruise down the road. I didn't think Grandma saw much more than just the beginning of the hood and then what was on the horizon. Some of those have gone through the Wallace Tunnel in the past. All right, to the phones, and Mike is in Fairhope. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon here.
Hey, man.
Sean, you know, I think the caller before me mentioned the lighting in the tunnel. Is that right?
That's what I was getting from Captain Doug's call, yes.
Yeah, and that's certainly a thing. You know, the tunnels we have are really mismanaged. How many years did it take them to cut off that Water Street entrance to the tunnel right when the traffic is making a right-hand turn into the tunnel? That was ludicrous to have that traffic.
When did they shut that down? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? Was it longer than that?
Yeah, but how many years did it take them to do that? The tunnel was mismanaged. You know, what is one of the most dangerous things when you're driving on the highway? It's changing lanes. It's the only tunnel I've ever been in that has anybody can switch lanes while they're in the tunnel. It causes accidents. You know, there's no sign in the tunnel that says maintain your speed. You know, the whole thing is, you know, I realize we probably do need more throughput through the tunnel, but, you know, if we managed what we had a little bit, we'd probably get a lot better performance out of it.
Well, and I think that's kind of going off of what Senator Pittman is saying, is that, you know, with some tweaks here, and that I don't think it negates the fact that you maybe do move forward with the bridge project, and it could be separate and financed separately. The more ways to get people back and forth across the bay, the better. But let's try to work with what we have, and then see how much we want to add to it.
Yeah, I certainly agree with him and you. It's but you know, let's put some more lights in, maintain your speed. Manage the thing a little bit, you know. It's it's just a poor. And remember, the people who are that are providing the solution today are the ones that gave you what you have today. Okay.
There you go. I appreciate the call. Thanks for chiming in, Mike. From the text line here, let's see. What is the risk to the hedge fund with the toll on the Wallace Tunnel? Shooting fish in a barrel, crony capitalism. Thank you, Steve, for that. I don't know what the risk. The risk is not making their money back if nobody paid the toll. I mean, there's not. Well, let me say this: is expansive, not expensive, but as that too. But as expansive as this project is, maybe there's something built in, but I have not heard of it. That their risk. But the thing is, what kind of risk is it when you toll both the Wallace and the future bridge? I mean, who wouldn't love? I'd love to get in a business like that where people have to use the product, that they're stuck. It's So, I mean, I guess the risk is that in 55 years, they won't earn the money back that was used to build the bridge. Now, remember, the project is like 7% federal, somewhere some floating number between 16 and 20% state, meaning LDOT money, and then the rest, the private partnership, public-private partnership, the triple P. So I guess they have 55 years to make that money back, but they've run the numbers. They're not dummies doing this. Good, thank you. People agreeing with me about Texas tags all over Baldwin County since spring break. I don't know what it is, and I'm glad I'm not the only person seeing it. And I'm welcoming, that's not anti-Texas people. Hey, Texas folks, I just, where have y'all been all these years, and why'd you show up now? Texter said Old Bank had, toll days had the cop blowing the whistle, waving move it, having flashing lights and signs saying move it, maintain speed would help. Also, remember what it said in the bank ad. Don't flash your lights or honk your horn. And what did everybody do growing up? Not me, but it would, other people. All right, let's go to Tommy in Mobile up next. Hey, Tommy.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Afternoon.
First and foremost, the fellow that designed that tunnel should be, if he's dead, dig him up and hang him. The second thing, don't build all the Bayway. The only problem with the Bayway congestion is the tunnel. Build a bridge over the tunnel. Shut the tunnel down and build a bridge over the tunnel, and the Bayway will flow like everything. This is so simple. These people are dumb.
So you're saying use the same approach route? When you say build it over, you build one over the other one or physically over it? Like, where would the... Hello? Okay, we lost him. That's okay. It's okay. He had his thought and he was moving on. So are we. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way. A lot of texts coming in here. We're trying to get some of these texts. Plus, Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, joins us. The Arnold Moody, Tommy Tuberville spat going on right now with Republican Senate hopefuls. Those two, what are they spatting about? Well, dish on that coming up.